Absolutely.
It's, again, we have to keep in mind that we're not dealing here with the classic interpretations of the terms Tzadik, Rosh, Beinoni. Okay, this is very much of an existential, essential translation. Otherwise, it's very easy to get put out and give it all up. So we're dealing here with the level of what is the person's, in essence, in if they were somehow put under a microscope to see their madrega, not based upon their actions, but the madrega that they're at. With that in mind, we're going to start Perek Yud Beis, because that really is the focus point of the Sefer HaTanya, which is the life of the Beinoni. Perek Yud Beis. Ve'a Beinoni. The person who's called the Beinoni, Hu Shalo Oilom Ein Hara Goyver Kolkach, Lichboish Ha'ir Kitana. Earlier, he gave a mashal that the human body is a city. It's a city over which two kings were going to war, each one wanting to dominate the city. The Beinoni is a person who his evil, his Yetzihara, never was that strong to dominate the city. What does that mean, to dominate? Lihislabesh biguf, meaning that he didn't have the power to take over the body, lehachtioi, to cause him to sin. Dainu, sheshloi, shalavush, nefesh, habahamis, the three garments that we've been discussing, namely thought, speech, and deed, of the animal soul, shemachshava, dibur, ma'isa, shemitzad, haklipa, that is thought, speech, and deed, which come from the side which is not kedusha. Ein goivrim boy, they never gained the upper hand, ala nefesh, of the kiss over the godly soul, lihislabesh biguf, in order to clothe themselves in the body. Or, the body would be maisa, right? Bemayach, in mind, that would be thought, ubepen, in speech, ubishar remach evarim, or with any one of the other 248 limbs, leachtiyam uletamam chas v'shalom, to cause them to sin or to contaminate them. Rather, so that's in outcome. And he's going to go back and explain all this in a moment. Rak, rather, shloish levush nefesh olekis, the three garments of the godly soul, namely the thought, speech, and deed, heim levadam, they and only they, Mislabshim biguv, they and only they are able to dominate the body. Shemachshav adibur ma'isa shel taryag mitzvah sater. Notice he's totally avoiding the realm of the pariv. He's sticking to the extremes. The extremes being the forbidden of the nefesh abahami and the mitzvahs of the positive. He's staying away, unlike what he did in earlier prakrim, where he spoke about the mutter. Here he's focusing on the two extremes, because it's going to play itself out in the middle. That is thought, speech, and deed of the 613 mitzvahs. Now, this requires tremendous clarification, and frankly, it is of wonder to me why he wrote it using this language, because again, this is, if you take this the way it says it, it's a total put-off, and at the end of the parak, he goes back and qualifies that that's not really what he meant. This person, let's first do a simple explanation, you'll see why it's so astonishing. This person never transgressed an avera in his life, v'lo yavra lo elam, and he never will. V'lo nikra olav shem rasha, and he does not have the name, the title rasha, afil sha achas, even for 1 hour, v'rega echad, or 1 moment, kol yamei chayav, kol yamav, all of his life. Now, he clearly told us in the past that that's not necessarily the case, meaning that what he's trying to say here, and all the commentaries on the Tanya point this out, is that in the person's present state, he's done tshuva for everything that he's already done wrong. And like the Rambam says, and this is really borrowed terminology, like the Rambam explains, in the mindset that he is right now, he never will. Remember the language of the Rambam? Until the he who knows all the secrets of a man can testify about him that this person will never go back to do those averes. That's the perspective we need to have that he's applying right now. Meaning that in the present moment, sin is unthinkable.
Just for the Beinoni?
That's what he's talking about, the Beinoni. The Rasha obviously has plenty of it, right? But the Beinoni, at the stage that he's at right now, the thought that he may have sinned in the past is unfathomable to him, and for sure the consideration to sin in the future cannot enter his mind. Now, if that's the case, why isn't he a tzaddik? Come on, look at this. This should be like, you know, the tzaddik. But the difference is as follows. Ach mehuz va'atzmos nefesho l'kis. But the essence of his godly soul, she'enes ebchinei seho, which are the 10 character traits of the godly soul, lo'i lehen levadon ha'melucha v'memsholo b'irkitana. They are not the only kings in the city. How does that express itself? The only time that the godly soul and its expressions, its 10 qualities, chesed, gvura, tiferes, and so on, its emotions, its desires, its agenda, are the only show in town, that only happens occasionally. Like when? Kimoi b'shas kriyashma. For instance, during the reading of the Shema, utfila, or during Shemoneh Esrei, right? Shehi shas meichin de gadlus lemaila v'gam lemata. Unbelievable language here. Davening time is not only an opportune time here, meaning the time of Krishma and Tefillah is not only an opportune time because we've prepared for it and we said Pesukah Dezimra and all the various things that help us focus, but it is an opportune time because during the first 3 hours of the day, lemaila, even above, there is a hashpah that we can connect to during each tefillah and the times of these obligations. And as a result, hishas hakoysha l'chol adam, it is an opportune time for every person. Sha'oz mikasher chabad shaloi l'Hashem. It gives the person to be able to connect his intellectual qualities of chachma, bina, and das to Hashem. How does that? Does one do that? Lahamik daitoy bigdula sein sof baruch hu. The purpose of Kriyashma is to totally envelop one's mind and deepen their thoughts about the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as a result, ula oires ahava, to arouse the love, kriyish be'esh, like a burning inferno, bechalal ha'yemini, in the right chamber, the heart of a liboy, Lidovka by to cleave to Hashem. How does one cleave to Hashem? He defines it very clear terms. There's only one way. Bikiyum ha-toyru u-mitzveseh. The only way for a Jew to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the fulfillment of Torah mitzvahs mi-ahava, out of love. Shezeu inin ha-mavoya b'krishma de-araisa. That's the concept. That's what's explained in Kriyashma, that's what it's all about, and a good portion of the Sefer Likutei Torah and Torah Or, authored by the Baal HaTanya, is the exercise that one can go through during Pesukah Dezimra and Birchas Kriyashma and all that to bring a person to recognize Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and then the outcome is V'ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha. V'ahavta is a natural outcome in his philosophy of contemplating Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So that's the purpose of Kriyashma. Not only is it due to our exercise, but as mentioned above, those hours of the day when there's a mitzvah to learn Kriyashma, there's an opportunity to connect because that's the emanation from above. Shezeu inyan ha-mavoya b'krishma d'araisa u-bircheisel. And then came along the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyla and added the bracha shelefneu u-lachreu. They added the brachas before Shema and afterwards. Shemid Rabbanan, they are rabbinic. Hein hachana l'kiyum ha-krishma k'may shekasavti b'makamacha. They are the preparation for one to be able to learn Krishma properly, as I have written elsewhere. The Oz. Now, for the Beinoni, unlike the Tzaddik, even the Tzaddik Virale, who totally overcame his evil, the Beinoni only has moments where he's in charge. Va'oz harash b'chlal asmoli kofuf u'botol l'toiv. there, during those moments, the evil that's in the person's left chamber is subservient and negligible compared to the good. L'toyva mispashet b'chlal ha'yemini, to the good that's spreading in the right chamber, mechabad shebemoyach, starting with the intellectual pursuit of the mind. He never misses an opportunity to push his agenda. Which are bound to the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, it starts in contemplation, and it will result in emotional love. But for the Beinoni, these are moments during each day that he's gifted of times when evil is not active. Just moments. But the minute we walk out of shul, b'histalkus hamoich in digadlus ein soif baruch hu. Another way of saying this is carpool. When the mindset of gadlus of Hashem departs, and we gotta face the realities of life, hare ara choyzevenir b'chlal asmoli. So here comes evil again. He wakes up again in the left chamber. Umisavitaiva, and it desires all kinds of desires, litaivas oilamazevitanuga, to the pleasures of this world and its technology. Rak, it is only mipnei shaloiloi levadei mishpatamalucha vamem sholobi'ir. And here comes evil with all of its flair, but it's only because he's not the only show in town. He can't get his way because there's a war going on in this city. He's not given, he doesn't have dominion, he doesn't have rulership in the city, he just is able to express his desires. And therefore, he can't go ahead and garment himself. He can't get away with ever moving it into the realm of real thought, speech, and deed. How does that express itself in thought? He says, "Lahamik machshavtei b'tanugei lemazeh." Yeah, he brings it all up in desire. It comes, it flashes through our minds, but the person will not allow his mind to become engrossed in those pleasures of olam hazeh. Meaning, what does engrossing mean? Eich lemales tavis libay. Engrossed means, okay, now how can I go about to pursue those pleasures that he is presenting to me? Why can't he get away with it? So here is a absolute, critical, fundamental in his chassidus and in machshava bechlal. And it's a zayir, Reya Mehemna, and that is Ki Amoyach Shalat Al Alev. The way the Rebbeinu Shlom created the nature of the machine is the mind rules the body. And when you know what's right, and we've gone through the exercises of learning how a Jew is to think, what's right and what's wrong, and what type of pursuits are correct and what are incorrect, then we have the capacity of telling ourselves to cut it out. So people are always saying, I can't, the desires are too strong. They're simply, then they should check in whether or not they have the DNA of a human being. Because the Zohar says, if you're human, the mind rules over the person. And he explains, he expounds. Because the mind rules over the heart in its nature, v'teva yitzirose, in the nature of his creation, shekach noitzer ha'odam b'taldasai, this is not something that we need to create, it's not something that we need to formulate or exercise, this is the nature of the human being from his birth. Meaning, shekol Adam, every human being, yachal b'ritzoinai shebemoichai, can with the willpower of his mind, li'isapik, to restrain himself, v'limsha b'ruach tavosai shebelibai, to rule over the force of desire that comes from his emotions, sheloi l'malais mishalais libai, he can rule over it so that he does not need to fulfill the passion of his heart. B'maisa dibur u'machshava. What do you do with machshava? Machshava seems to be that which comes to my mind. What am I supposed to do about it? It just happens to me. Says the Baal Tanya, not true, because we have the power. Ulahasiach daito ligamri mitavas liboy elahepech ligamri. We have the ability to veer away our thoughts from the tivus of our heart to the total opposite. In fact, I believe that there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch that says that even if a person is in a place where he's not allowed to think Torah, that if he's confronted by thoughts which are inappropriate, he is allowed to think Torah in such a place. Ubefrat el tzadakedusha, and especially it is, meaning that a person can veer their thoughts away to, you know, whether the peppers come from Mexico or from Eretz Yisrael. But certainly the person has the ability to ignite the tzadik kedusha, the side of holiness. Kidichsev, as the Pasuk says, V'ra'isi shiyash Yisrael l'chachma min asichlus. There is the power that wisdom has over stupidity. Like the advantage that light has over dark. Pirish. What does he mean to say? Just like light has the advantage. It has dominion. It has rulership over darkness. Meaning shema'at or gashmi, a little bit of light, one candle, can blast away a huge amount of darkness, and it doesn't require any effort. It disappears, it moves away. And it goes away all by itself. We should understand that the power of Kedusha is such that easily we can push away sichlus harba shel klipa v'sitrach, a great deal of stupidity, from the klipa and the dark side shebichlal asmali that's in the left chamber. Ah, you're going to ask, he doesn't seem stupid at all. It seems that the dark side is very, very smart. Why are you calling him stupid? Says the Baal Tanya in the brackets. Kemaymer Chazal, he says, I'm not making this up. It says, no person sins elin ken nechnas by ruach shtus, unless he's overcome by temporary insanity. So you see that there's a great deal of insanity involved in the dark side.
So the tzaddik never has a ruach shtus?
That's the way he, again, this, the tzaddik of the Baal Tanya has eradicated it.
Oh, he's eradicated it, so he didn't have it, he just overcame it.
That's a machlekes, again, of his tzaddik is born a tzaddik, very little struggle, totally unfair. Mipnei, so why does he banished? Run line right after the brackets on Daf Yudzayim. Mipnei achachma shebenefesh alikis, because here comes wisdom. Here comes the wisdom of the godly soul. Shebemoyach asher itzayna limshoy levada beir, because remember, while evil is willing to share, this is not willing to share. Kedusha is not willing to share. So evil will allow there to be two balabatim in the city, right? Goodness will not allow for it. Ulislabish bishloish levushel, now because Kedusha will not allow anything else in town. V'cholagov kula canal. What does it want? Shemachshava dibur ma'isa tarig mitzvah satori canal, because Kedusha is exclusive. And as we said earlier, Kedusha is exclusive because it has the ability of transforming evil, where evil can never transform Kedusha. But, here to answer Gabi's question, he was listening. V'yafal pikein ein enikr tzadiklal. Even though this guy can never get, the evil will never get a machshava dibur ma'isa of an aver going, nonetheless, he's not a tzaddik. Why not? Mipnei sheyisrein hazeh, asher l'or nefesh olikis al achoshech v'sichlus al haklipa. Because this advantage that his godly soul has over the darkness and the stupidity of his own darkness. It's pushed aside. The only place where this entire thing is playing itself out is in the expressions of the three garments, in thought, speech, and deed. But it's not in the essence of the person, meaning this person's got a healthy, vibrant, solid evil inclination, active in all of its fantasies, in all of its designs. It's alive and well, but he's a tremendous gibor. Now, it's interesting, because if you look into the works of the Baruch Shavarov, and the Baruch Shavarov says about, for instance, why does a melech, he uses the mashal of a melech, I guess, because it was unique to melechim, why does a melech pay a great deal of money for a parrot that talks? If you're looking for something that talks, get a teenager. What are you getting a parrot for? It's because that's a teenager. It's not a chiddush. It's not a novelty. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo is looking for a novelty. The Baal Tanya writes in the Likutei Torah, in the Summer Parshias, he says, why is the Beis Hamikdash called Misois Kol Haaretz? Misois is a language of laughter. So he says the Rebbeinu Shlomo finds it humorous that human beings can take Gashmi and transform it into Ruchni. It's the unexpected. And people laugh. You see the unexpected, right? You don't expect Abderuf says that that's why Yitzchak was called Yitzchak, that it was funny, because it was the unexpected. The Midas HaChesed gives birth to a Midas HaGvura. So it's humorous. So the Baruch Shavarov says that this is not a put-down. The struggle that the Beinoni has, he's the Tachlis of the Bria. That's the struggle, is the arena where it all plays itself out. The Tzaddik is not the desired being. He's not the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. The Rebbeinu Shlomo has Nachis because we are the talking birds. We're the ones, despite the struggle, every time we don't allow darkness to express itself in the Gimel Levushim, there's a tremendous Nachas Ruach upstairs. Baruch Hu told me today, going back to the crunch, crunch speech, for those of you who were here for that, that the in the Dalet Kedushas on Purim, the Berditchev writes that anybody who says or attempts to say that the Rebbeinu Shlomo does not have tremendous pleasure from Avoda, it's minus vapikursus. It's heresy. Anyway, so therefore...
So what's saying? Does he get delight in a rush of being a rush of them? If that's the case, his tzaddik is a tzaddik. Does he know who he is? If the main struggle is abandoning,
no.
He gets the greatest hanor.
Right.
So therefore, does he get hanor from the rush of being a rush because he's got no... It's the complete opposite from the tzaddik? He's born
no.
in Russia?
I don't. He doesn't say that he was born in Russia. He just says it about the tzaddik.
So tzaddik is just born a tzaddik,
and Rosh Hashanah. The tzaddik is needed because it's tzaddik yisadel. What he said it is, you need 36 tzaddikim to operate the world.
So the Rosh
Hashanah
is chosen to
become a Rosh Hashanah. Now there are people, he said clearly, who are born with more difficult natures than others, but they have the ability to overcome. So going back to it, he says, therefore, the struggle, the reason he's not a tzaddik is because he wins the battles, but he does not win the transformation. And he said, look up about five lines from the bottom. Ki mehusa v'yatzmusa shel nefesh ha-bahamish me'aklipa, because the essence of the animal soul, which comes from the dark side, shebichlal ha-smali, that's in the left chamber, he's right there. He's the guy with the little pitchfork and the horns, is alive and well and vibrant. He's right there, right after davening, achra tvila. The minute the person is not actively involved in something that ignites the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is right there waiting to pounce and to go to battle. The moment that you don't have the love of Hashem in a revealed way, b'chalal ha-yemini, in the right chamber, ki im toichai rotzuf ahava misuteres, He says, we'll get to a different fact. And the whole next section of the Sefer is going to be built on the hidden love that every Jew has. Right now he's talking about open feelings of love that we have the ability to ignite. He says, even though I acknowledge, I'm totally accepting of the fact that there is the neshama yearns for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether we're aware of it or not. She'ahava tivya shebenefesh alikis. There is a natural love that exists in the godly soul. Like I'm going to write about at great length further on. And therefore, ve'azai yochal liyos sichlus haksil hara, therefore, the stupidity, the narishkeit of this evil fool has the total ability to have bizgalus liba in a revealed way, bichlal asmali in the left chamber, lizavas taiva to desires the chol in yonigashmias, to all physical things of olam hazeh, of this world, bein v'heta bein b'yisr. He says, I want you to understand, this is not only people who desire things that are permissible. I'm talking about even people who are desiring the worstest of the worst. That's what evil will do to us. It's going to ignite the tremendous desires to all kinds of things. Ki'ilu lo yisvalu klal. We're wondering about ourselves, can it be that this is the same guy who was up there on Yom Kippur screaming Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Shem Lekeinu, Hashem Olekim. It's as if he never davened at all. But, Ella, only, Shebidvar Isser. When it comes to the forbidden, critical words, Eina, Eila, Bidaita, it does not even occur to the person, Laseis Ha'isser, Bepoil Mamash Chas V'Shalom. Yeah, a flash goes through his mind with a desire. But what makes the person a Beinoni at that moment is that the consideration of thinking, speaking, or acting is unconscionable. Just like the person doesn't consider drinking poison. As much as the poison may smell great, this person has thoughts about these things, but will not pursue them in a way which is usur. Again, and he stresses, what do we do with the initial thoughts? You're telling me that the person isn't pursuing the thought, but what about the initial thoughts that come to us? But we are bombarded with forbidden thoughts, thoughts which are worse than Avera sometimes. They do come to the person, to enter his mind, to confuse him, from his service of Hashem. And he says, I'm not making this up. Like Chazal tells us, there are three averas that no person can be saved from. Here avera, they are the contemplation of sexual immorality. V'iyun tefila v'chulo.
What's wrong with iyun tefila?
Iyun tefila is a terrible thing. What's iyun tefila? Iyun tefila is analyzing if Hashem is going to fulfill my prayers. Am I wasting my prayers? Notice on par what that is. It's on par with hiruri avera.
Is he a Benoni because he has the initial thought, or because allows himself to dwell on it?
No. He's a Benoni because he has the desires and the initial thoughts. The tzaddik doesn't even have the initial thoughts. Rak shelezeh. Now, so if that's the case, he asks the obvious question. In parentheses here, he just didn't print it. If the whole davening experience, or if you will, the whole Tishrei experience, passes so quickly and we go right back to being the same animals we were before, what's the point? Why bother? Why bother putting myself through the whole work of the davening and the exercise if I remain the same animal after davening that I was before? So the Balatanya Rak Shalazem Moyel Harishimu Bimoichin V'yiras Hashem. For this, Rishimu, great Aramaic word, Hebrew word is reshem, right? The impression, the mark that the person leaves in their mind and in their fear of Hashem and in the love of Hashem, hamesuteres b'chalal hayimini, which is concealed at all times in the right chamber, The davening experience is the very quality that gives the person the koyach to go back later on and remind themselves who they were so that they can overcome the temptation later on. It is that very koyach that gives the person the ability not to give in to the evil to become the ruler of the city, to be able to carry out his very plan into action, to enclothe, to garment himself in the limbs of the body, and even when we're talking about thought, which is the most edla of what we're talking about here, meaning laharabara, to pursue the thought, to give life to it, to bring it further, not to allow it to pass. Ein lo shlito umemshala. We're not going to give the power of ra, the dominion, laharachas v'shalom biritzayna shabamaychu. We're not going to do it willingly, meaning, unbelievable words, sheyikabel biritzayn chas v'shalom hirir zehara. I'm not going to accept that thought. You see the words mamish. Sheyikabel biratzen chas v'shalom. Here is era. I'm not going to accept it in order to make it my own. Hoy lemalev. Yeah, it comes from my lave. Lemayach kanal. Yeah, it comes. I don't have to activate it. I don't have to make it my own. That koyach of being able to overcome and say I'm not going to pursue that thought comes from davening.
So did the
shuvah
have the same
concept? Ella, miyad bali yosay immediately as the thought comes from the heart, decheu b'shtei yadayim, you kick it out with two hands. Umesir daita miyad sheniska shuhira. The minute the person recognizes that this is a stinking rotten thought, he takes it and banishes it. Ve'ena mikable b'rotzen, and he does not receive it willingly. Even to pursue the thought with any form of desire, forget about even bringing it into his mind to carry it out, even to speak about it. By the way, this may be apocursus, but it certainly sounds to me like he understood us very well. And I'm wondering if in his description of the tzaddik, if a real tzaddik, in his description, can even understand what the Beinoni goes to describe it this well. I have the same thing with the Peleoids, with Ramotel. His understanding of human nature is so modern, is so relevant to us, that it has to be that at some level these people had very similar experiences to us. So, I don't know if it's a terrible thing to say that the Baal Tanya was not a born tzaddik and went through these very same processes in order to get where he got. I'm not insulted by it.
Does anybody claim that anymore?
Ki amaha Rebbe Rotzayin Nikra Rosha Bais Hashah. How do I know that this must be the case, he says? Because somebody who contemplates willingly and he accepts the thought and gives life to it is called a Rosh at that moment. And we're talking about a person who never does this willingly. Again, never meaning now. Never meaning he's not contemplating, right now I would never do that. And here he takes it to an astounding another level. This is not only true vis-a-vis issues between man and God, but even on issues between man and his friend, miyad sho'eloloi me'am leiv l'moyach, the moment a thought comes from his heart to his mind, ezitina v'sinachas v'shalom, any form of hatred or resentment, ezitina ekas, or jealousy or anger, ekapeda v'demeim, or to be harsh, or anything similar, any negative issue between him and another person, ein mekablin klal b'moyachai, he does not accept it willingly in his mind, or in his desire. Quite the contrary, his mind will rule over the spirit in his head. To do what? Lasseis ha'hepech mamish. He got a cheshbon going with somebody, do the exact opposite. Li'isnaig im chaveiroi b'midas chesed, to conduct oneself with another person with kindness. V'chi b'yisera, an overwhelming love. Mudas loy lizben memenu ad ketzei achren, that the person will tolerate abuse from somebody else to the extreme. V'le'lichis chas v'shalom, and not to get angry. And even not to pay the person back according to their own deserved, you know, they're getting what's coming to him. Quite the contrary, ligma l'chayavim toivos, borrowed language, beautiful melitza here, to do good to those who deserve our wrath. Like the Zayir writes, lilmid mi Yosef imechav. That one of the lessons we should learn from Yosef and his brothers is to see what Yosef did for them after everything they did to him. So what he's adding here at the last 10 lines here is that this whole issue of conduct is, as far as not tolerating the thought and not contemplating or fantasizing about it, is not only true between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that there is even reason not to allow these thoughts and agendas between man and man.